For over 2,000 years, a radical idea has quietly shaped the lives of emperors and slaves, generals and artists, presidents and prisoners. It's not a religion promising salvation, nor a self-help system guaranteeing success. It's something more fundamental, a philosophy that transforms how we perceive reality itself. Stoicism emerged in ancient Athens not as an ivory tower pursuit, but as a practical toolkit for living well, regardless of what fortune throws your way. What makes it extraordinary isn't just its survival across millennia, but its uncanny relevance to our modern struggles. The same principles that helped Marcus Aurelius govern an empire while facing plague and war now guide CEOs navigating market crashes, athletes performing under pressure, and ordinary people finding peace amid chaos. These weren't armchair philosophers spinning theories. They were practitioners testing their ideas against the harshest realities imaginable. Stoicism's foundation: suffering comes from our judgments about events, not the events themselves. The discipline of perception teaches clear seeing. Consider your current worry, a relationship, deadline, or finances. The Stoic question, what can you actually control? Not your boss's mood or others' opinions, only your thoughts, choices, and responses. This narrow focus isn't pessimism, it's liberation from wrestling with immovable objects. The discipline of action guides conduct. We know what to do. Exercise, focus, respond patiently, yet resistance stops us. The Stoic principle? Do what needs doing, now, regardless of feelings. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself each morning, "I'm rising to do the work of a human being." The discipline of will addresses accepting what we cannot change. When Nero ordered his execution, Seneca faced death calmly through acceptance. Mental clarity requires cutting the strings that pull your mind: social media, outrage headlines, endless entertainment. Epictetus taught separating everything into two categories: what you control and what you don't. Anxiety comes from trying to control the second while neglecting the first. Seneca reviewed each day: what bad habit did I curb? Marcus prepared each morning: today I shall meet people who are meddling, ungrateful, aggressive. Not pessimism, preparation that prevents disappointment's shock.
Stoicism reveals that emotions stem from judgments, not events. When someone cuts you off in traffic, you rage. But if your child did the same, you'd stay calm. Same action, different response. The difference? Your interpretation. As Epictetus noted, men are disturbed not by things, but by the views which they take of them. This insight is liberating. Someone insults you? That's beyond your control. Whether you judge it as devastating or irrelevant, entirely yours. Marcus Aurelius warned that anger is self-poisoning. The best revenge is to be unlike him who performed the injury. Emotions are habits strengthened through repetition. Each time you respond to frustration with patience, you make patience more likely next time. You're not born with a fixed emotional disposition. You're sculpting it with each response. Choose carefully. You're building the person you're becoming. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way." James Stockdale, imprisoned in Vietnam for 7 years and tortured repeatedly, exemplified this principle. Unable to control his circumstances, he focused on his responses, leadership, and mental resilience. The prisoners who suffered most were optimists expecting release by Christmas, then Easter, then Thanksgiving. Their constantly disappointed hope broke them. Stockdale survived through the Stockdale paradox, confronting brutal facts while maintaining faith in eventual prevailing. The Stoics advocated breaking overwhelming problems into manageable steps. Don't think about writing a book, write one page. Don't worry about running a marathon, take the next step. Elite coach Nick Saban calls this the process, ignoring the scoreboard to execute the current play perfectly. Epictetus compared difficulties to a wrestling partner. They exist to make you stronger. Every frustrating colleague becomes an opportunity to practice patience. Every setback builds resilience. The obstacle isn't preventing your development, it's providing it. When everyone's panicking, be the person who takes a breath and thinks clearly. Your inner calm radiates outward, transforming the environment itself. In a world obsessed with outcomes, salary, title, followers, achievements, Stoicism offers a radically different measure, virtue. Not prudishness, but excellence of character. The Stoics identified four cardinal virtues: wisdom, courage, justice, and temperance. Everything else, wealth, health, reputation, was indifferent, valuable only if it served virtue. If happiness depends on external success, you've surrendered control to forces beyond your influence. Markets crash, bodies age, reputations crumble. But if happiness comes from living virtuously, acting with integrity, courage, fairness, and self-discipline, it remains entirely within your power. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself, "Waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be. Be one." Virtue isn't theoretical, it's action. Treating people fairly, even when they don't deserve it. Doing excellent work when no one's watching. When someone treats you poorly, the Stoic response isn't retaliation, but understanding. Responding with virtue preserves your character. Retaliating corrupts it. Virtue provides an internal standard of success independent of outcomes. Whether your efforts succeed or fail, you can take satisfaction in having acted rightly. As Marcus concluded, just that you do the right thing. The rest doesn't matter. You could leave life right now. Let that thought determine what you do, say, and think. The Stoics practiced memento mori, remembering death, not to become depressed, but to become fully alive. Death awareness cuts through trivialities instantly. That grudge you're holding, that status anxiety, confronting mortality reveals what actually deserves your limited time: living virtuously, loving generously, contributing meaningfully. Seneca advised, "Let us prepare our minds as if we'd come to the very end of life. Let us postpone nothing. Don't wait for retirement to pursue what matters." The Stoics used mortality to diminish fear. By regularly contemplating death, they diffused its terror through familiarity. When Nero ordered his execution, Seneca comforted his weeping friends. He'd been practicing for this moment his entire life. Death awareness fosters gratitude. Each day becomes a gift, not a guarantee. Life's fragility transforms ordinary moments into precious opportunities. Finally, mortality reminds us of our common humanity, the great equalizer connecting us across every division. Stoicism's 2 millennia endurance addresses timeless human challenges. Its core principles remain startlingly relevant. Distinguish what you control from what you don't. Examine the judgments creating your emotions. Act according to values rather than impulses. And build character through daily choices. The philosophy's founders prove its versatility. Epictetus, a disabled slave, became one of history's most influential teachers. Marcus Aurelius commanded empires yet remained humble. Seneca possessed immense wealth but practiced voluntary poverty. Their radically different circumstances all yielded to Stoic wisdom, suggesting it can serve you too. In our consumer culture manufacturing endless desires, the Stoic insight that wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants, offers liberation. You don't need the promotion, luxury car, or social validation. You need clarity about what matters, commitment to virtue, and acceptance of what you cannot change. The Stoics provide what modern culture desperately lacks, an internal measure of success independent of external validation. You cannot control whether others appreciate your work or fortune smiles on your plans, but you can control your integrity, courage, and discipline. The good life emerges from thousands of small choices, starting now. As Marcus knew before dawn, you can complain about difficulty or rise to do the work of a human being. The choice has always been yours.